From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The island mountains and valleys of Alaska's panhandle may look unchanging, but the area is moving rapidly in a geologic sense. KSTK's Sage Smiley sat down with a research geologist from the U.S. Geological Survey to talk about the rocky history of Southeast.
Geologist Peter Heusler peeks his head out of a cabin hatch on his 45-foot aluminum-hulled sailing boat, the Mucho Gusto. It's home-ported in Wrangell.
The dog's name is Happy.
Hi, Happy.
Heusler lives in Anchorage, but has spent 3 decades researching the rocks of Southeast.
I think the fascinating part of geology is that you end up looking at the landscape and the world through a very different set of eyeglasses than I think a lot of other people do.
And that set of eyeglasses is what Heusler calls deep time, events on a scale that dwarfs human lifetimes or even civilizations.
You know, I think it's really easy for people to think about time in terms that we know and we experience, which is, you know, it's spring now and, you know, getting over winter. It's going to be warm in the summer.
Human time spans pale in comparison to geologic ones, Heusler says. He says to really understand geology, you've got to think not in terms of tens or hundreds of years, but thousands to millions of years.
When looking at, say, some of the older rocks in Southeast Alaska, I mean, it seems as if most of Southeast Alaska is a piece that came from somewhere else, and trying to think about the probably warm tropical environments that it came from on the order of 400 million years ago, and it was out in the middle of the ocean. Pretty different.
Southeast Alaska, Heusler says, is geologically unique. The region's history is less as a part of a huge landmass experiencing slow continental drift, but as a smaller, more mobile chunk of crust. Think of island areas like the South Pacific or around Japan. What's now Southeast Alaska, called the Alexander Terrane by geologists, probably started out near the equator. At least that's as far back as geologists have any idea, based on fossils here. Offshore, there's a fault called the Queen Charlotte Fairweather Fault. Heusler says it's similar to the better-known San Andreas Fault along the west coast, but it's more active.
And in some ways, the Queen Charlotte is like the San Andreas, but it's on steroids. It moves a lot faster, it's exceedingly sharp, it's produced more big earthquakes in a shorter period of time. So it's a very impressive fault system.
The Queen Charlotte Fairweather Fault is a strike-slip fault where two tectonic plates are moving past each other in opposite directions. It's moving at a whopping 5.3 centimeters per year, the length of a small lime. But compared to the San Andreas Fault moving about two-thirds that distance each year, maybe the length of a grape, it's quite quick. Heusler says fast faults tend to produce more and bigger earthquakes. The fault is visible north of Icy Point in Glacier Bay National Park. That's where the fault runs on land, while the rest of it is underwater.
If you're on an Alaska Airlines flight from Juneau to Anchorage and it's a clear day, you can see that fault as this giant groove through the landscape because it's moving.
Heusler says now that the glaciers have retreated significantly back onto the mainland, the Earth's crust is rebounding. Sites that used to be shoreline near Wrangell are now hundreds of feet in the air, while ancient coastlines on the outer coast are slowly sinking. While Southeast residents can't usually sit and watch rocks move, there are consequences for communities living in geologically tumultuous zones. For example, the fast-moving Queen Charlotte Fairweather Fault poses major potential seismic hazards to people living in Southeast.
You know, you're really close to it, and ground motions from something like that are something that need to be considered in, you know, when building buildings, that kind of thing.
But it's not just the earthquakes that are a potential hazard. Heusler points to a 1958 earthquake on the Fairweather Fault. It's maybe most famous for causing a rock fall in Lituya Bay, which hit the water and created a mega tsunami.
That is still the world's highest world record tsunami run-up that went 1,740 feet, splashed up that hillside, then out the bay.
Heusler says work like his goes toward mitigating hazards through things like seismic hazard maps, which help dictate where and to what standard new construction happens. He says in presenting his work to the public, his goal is to give people a better sense for how the geologic world around us got to where it is today, and to leave people with a sense of wonder about the epic history of the Earth right in their own communities. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
Drag Queen Storytime is set to return to the Ketchikan Public Library this June as part of the library's Pride Month festivities. That's according to the library's director. It would be the second time hosting a drag queen for a reading. But as KRBD's Eric Stone reports, Ketchikan City Manager, who oversees the library director, says no final decision has been made.
Last June, the Ketchikan Public Library held its first ever drag queen story time to celebrate Pride Month. The event was so popular that the library had to add two additional readings to accommodate everyone who wanted to attend. KRBD spoke with some of the attendees shortly after last year's event, including 12-year-old Kehlani Clevenger.
I loved it. I loved how open they were and that how you could be anything you want to be.
But the library's decision to host a drag queen for story time sparked weeks of debate among community members and elected officials. Opponents told the Ketchikan City Council, which oversees the library, that a drag queen reading was inappropriate for young children. Supporters said the event promoted self-acceptance. Ketchikan's city attorney penned a 10-page memo amid the debate over last year's event, saying that an attempt by the city council to bar drag queen readings from the library could violate local, state, and federal anti-discrimination protections. The council ultimately voted 5-2 to allow the event to go forward as planned. And it was a hit, according to library director Pat Tully at the time.
This, I think, is probably the biggest story time we've ever had.
But the backlash continued after the reading, and it spurred a ballot proposition aiming to defund Ketchikan's library. The sponsor said the push was at least partly inspired by the drag queen reading. The measure was tied to a tax on rural residents, and only residents of the traditionally conservative precincts outside of Ketchikan and Saxman city limits were eligible to vote. Still, voters ultimately rejected the proposal by a 13-point margin. Planning for this year's Pride celebration at the library started shortly after last year's Storytime event. But Tully said in a recent interview that earlier this year, City Manager Delilah Walsh told her that the library should not play a direct role in hosting a drag queen Storytime.
That it shouldn't be something that the library sponsored, that it was totally fine as any nonprofit group can come in and use the large meeting room, reserve the large meeting room, but that the library shouldn't sponsor it.
Tully said that by not sponsoring the event, Walsh hoped to address the concerns of people who opposed last year's reading.
I believe the idea was that the city needed to be responsive to the entire community, including those who felt had some concerns about a drag queen story time.
As of Friday afternoon, Walsh had not addressed KRBD's repeated requests to discuss internal deliberation surrounding drag queen story time. That move prompted the Ketchikan Pride Alliance, a local LGBTQ education and outreach nonprofit, to send a letter to Walsh asking for an explanation. J.D. Martin is the group's president.
The Ketchikan Pride Alliance's mission is to provide education, support, and aid to the local LGBTQ community and their allies. And so we do a lot of support, free training, education. Our goal is to reduce conflict in the community. So when we heard about this, we thought it might be valuable for us to seek some clarification from the city manager.
KRBD obtained a copy of the letter and asked Walsh for a response. For a few days, Walsh asked for time to review the letter and later said she wanted to speak with the Pride Alliance about the organization's questions. On Friday, Tully said Walsh changed course and gave the library the go-ahead to sponsor a story reading featuring a drag queen. But late Friday afternoon, Walsh told KRBD in an email that no final decision had been made. She did not immediately address the apparent contradiction between her statement and that of the library director. Tommy Varela-Cossack was the star of last year's Storytime, reading the book The Hips on the Drag Queen Go Swish, 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 as his drag alter ego, Luna. Luna read from the book and led children through some simple dance moves, not unlike a traditional librarian-led Storytime. Varela-Cossack said that events like drag queen story times are essential to supporting LGBTQ community members, especially children.
I mean, we have students who are transgender and identifying as transgender in our elementary schools in Ketchikan, Alaska. We are doing a disservice if we don't have events like this to show queer youth that there are queer adults in here who are living in town, who are living lives, who are living successful lives, who are living happy lives. Because that's what happens with when there's not that representation for queer youth, is they don't see a future in which they can be happy.
Martin, the Pride Alliance president, emphasized that readings aimed at children are very different from drag shows intended for adults.
You know, they will be typically wearing like a big dress and lots of makeup, and it is in no way inappropriate for an audience. And then they read a story, again, an age-appropriate story. I think sometimes we forget that like any form of art form can be for children or for adults, like in the same way some books are for kids and some are for adults.
Similar events have taken place at libraries in Juneau since 2017. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
This is KTOO.